Hypothetical situation. You're in the grocery at the in the grocery store at the checkout counter, and there's a man ahead of you going through the checkout line, and he's mean and he's snarly. He argues with the cashier about the receipt. He makes comments about her appearance. He drops a racial slur and the F-bomb as well. And he walks off with his groceries, and you see his billfold fall from the grocery sack onto the floor and skitter across the floor behind a display. Now, the right thing to do is to go after the man and say, "Sir, I'm sorry, but your wallet is under that display over there." But it's awfully easy to just turn the other way. I mean, somebody will find it eventually, and he'll get it back. And wouldn't it just serve him right, all the extra trouble he had to go through? It's tempting, isn't it? Temptation. Giving in to temptation is like drinking poison tea. It never goes down very well. You heard that story about Winston Churchill. He was at a fancy dinner, and he was seated next to a very proper lady, and she did not like him. She said, "Sir, you are odious. If you were my husband, I would poison your tea." And he said, "Madam, if I were your husband, I would drink it." Well, our gospel today is a story of Jesus' baptism and temptation. Jesus goes down into the Jordan River. He's baptized by John, and he comes up. The heavens are torn apart. The sun shines on him. It's a glorious day. He's filled with the Spirit. He hears God speaking to him. He says, "You are my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." What a wonderful moment. But it doesn't last. It says, immediately the Spirit drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness for 40 days. He was tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels were with him. Well, temptation is one of those old-fashioned words that sticks around in our vocabulary, I think, because it still has quite a bit of power. Once I was teaching a confirmation class, and one of the teenage girls asked me a question. She said, "If Jesus is God, then how could he be tempted by Satan? I mean, wasn't he stronger than Satan and he wouldn't be tempted at all?" And I said, "Well, yes, Jesus is God. Jesus is fully divine, but he's also fully human, which means that he experienced all the temptations that we do. He experienced every human temptation. And so when we're tempted, we know that Jesus understands what's going on with us, and it helps us overcome our temptations." So then she said, "Do you have temptations?" That was a little harder to answer. I said, "Well, I'm a human being. And of course I have temptations, because all human beings are tempted." Temptation is not a popular word, but the fact is that the spiritual journey goes through the wilderness of temptations, and there's no avoiding it. It's going to be there. We're all tempted at one time or another. Contractor is building a building of cement blocks, and he knows that every 6 feet there's supposed to be a rebar down through the blocks filled with cement. But he's behind schedule, and the boss has been pushing him to get back on schedule. He knows that if he tells the men every 12 feet there's a rebar and cement, he can catch up. And when the wall is complete, it'll all be closed in and no one will know the difference. It's tempting. woman is doing her tax return. She's filling out one of those schedules that has a long worksheet on it, and she realizes that if she just skips a line and leaves it blank, her tax liability will be less. It's tempting. 13-year-old girl comes to her mom at bedtime and says, "Mom, can we talk?" She says, "Sure, honey." He says, "You know how you always tell us that we should stand up for kids who are being bullied?" And she says, "Sure, yeah." He says, "Well, today I was in the cafeteria and I was sitting with all my friends and they started picking on that girl with the funny hair. And I knew I should say something, but I also knew that if I said something, they would turn on me. And so I didn't say anything. I'm sorry, Mom." We're tempted. Every day we are tempted in one way or another. We're tempted to shade the truth. We're tempted to fits of anger. We're tempted to hardness of heart. We're tempted to judge other people. I know, we all are. I think the struggle between good and evil is a daily struggle in the heart of every human being. Interesting, in the Gospel of Mark, the story of the temptation of Jesus is just one sentence. He was in the wilderness 40 days and he was tempted by Satan. He was with the wild beasts and the angels waited on him. That's all it says. Nothing about stones and bread and going to the top of the pinnacle. It's just one sentence. I wonder why it is in that sentence that Mark puts in there about the wild beasts. He says when he was in the wilderness, the wild beasts were with him. Well, I'll tell you my theory. My theory is that that is supposed to remind us of the Garden of Eden. You know, in the Garden of Eden, it was a wilderness, and there were wild beasts there, but they weren't dangerous because this was a peaceable kingdom. There was no dying, no killing in the Garden of Eden. And in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were tempted by the serpent, and they gave in. Jesus was also in a wilderness. There were wild beasts there, but they didn't threaten him. And he also was tempted by Satan, but Jesus did not give in. He called upon the angels and they ministered to him. A man is sent by his business to a big convention in Las Vegas. Huge hotel, thousands of people. He doesn't know a soul, completely anonymous. At the end of the day, he sits down with about a dozen people at a big table and they're all eating and drinking and talking. And after a while, people finish their meal and they start wandering off. And after a while, it's just him and a woman about his age sitting at the table. And they get to talking and they realize they've got a lot of things in common. They're both married. They have children at home. And one thing leads to another, and they order another drink, move a little closer, and they're starting to share more about themselves. It becomes more personal and more intimate. And somewhere in his brain, a danger signal goes off. It says, this could be dangerous. But he ignores it and keeps talking. His cell phone goes off. He pulls it out of his pocket and he sees it's his wife. He gets up from the table, he waves to his companion, and he walks down the hall to say goodnight to his kids who are just being put to bed. And he gets up to his room alone. Do you think angels use cell phones? I think there are two things to do when we experience temptation, as we all will. One is to name it and to recognize what it is. To say, yes, I can feel it. I know I want to do something that's not right. And it's happening. And the second thing to do is ask God for help. The angels are there for us to call upon. They're waiting to minister to us if we only ask. That wonderful prayer that we heard this morning, the collect of the day. Oh God, come quickly to help us who are assaulted by many temptations. And as you know the weaknesses of each of us, let each one find you mighty to save. Probably the greatest temptation we have is to doubt ourselves. To say, do I matter? Do I make any difference? Does anybody care? Would the world be better off without me? And the answer to that temptation is our baptism. When we were baptized, we were made children of God. And we heard those words, you are my child, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. God never abandons us. God loves us forever. When the 40 days were over, Jesus left the wilderness full of the Spirit. He was strengthened and he was empowered, and he went into Galilee to preach the good news of God. So may we all be strengthened as we come through our temptations also. Amen.